Good morning, church. You don't know who I am. I'm Pastor Chase. I'm the executive pastor here, and I am excited to go ahead and bring the word this morning. But before I do, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. If you are in here and you call Great Oaks home, been around for a while, or a member here, I want to remind you that in the lobby on the way out, there's two of our leadership team members and myself. So Joe Phillips, Landon Carr will be out there. If you have any questions or concerns regarding last week's announcement, so there's that. The next thing I want to talk about is, as we come into the throne room every week, that's what we call this when we meet here on Sunday mornings, we're coming into worship. And man, I'm telling you right now, I love everything that Dave and our worship team does, amen? Yeah, I mean, they do a great job leading us in, but we just don't do that on Sundays. A couple weeks ago, we decided to open it up on a Friday night, bring in some school supplies for a school supply drive, and just spend over an hour and a half in just worship and reverence of God. And if you were not here, you missed out on a good one. So we want to go and give you a little highlight of that. So watch the screens. First off, thank you for all the school supplies that came in. We are divvying those out to our schools in the area. Speaking of which, if you're an educator and you know you need some of those, let Dave know. I learned something new when we looked over all the school supplies. You saw correctly, there's like a case of 5,000 like pre-sharpened number two pencils. I did not know like there was like an overstock store for like school supplies. You can get all those pre-sharpened, okay? So that was amazing. So thank you guys for doing that. If you were here at worship night, I hope you were blessed from that. So the next 4 weeks, what we're doing here at Great Oaks is a sermon series called The Lord's Prayer. Pastor Paul and myself will be taking this through the Lord's Prayer line by line as we dive in. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, let me ask this question first. How do we do in prayer? Church, how do we do? I mean, like, do we pray daily, weekly, monthly, hourly, super holy people, anybody? So let me go ahead and say this. So the first statistic that I found on prayer from Pew Research is this. 45% of Americans pray daily. That's in 2021. I look at that and I'm like, okay, because let's, you know, not everybody in the United States is a Christian. So 45% pray daily. All right. But then the following statistic was this. Only 2% of people surveyed would say that they are very satisfied with their overall prayer life. So that tells me either two things. Either one, we have people that are just yearning after the heart of God, and man, they just want so much more. I don't know if that's going to be the answer. Or we have people, and like us, we don't treat prayer maybe how we should, and we're not going to the Father how we should be going to the Father. I'll be the first to admit that sometimes prayer just gets shortchanged, even as a pastor. Let's talk about the American church context for a second. So when we plan services on a Sunday morning, we have what we call an order of service. Here's this song. Here's song number two. Here's where we put the announcements. Here's the sermon. And then you get to the end, and this is what we sometimes we can do. Okay, how do we get from this song into a sermon? Ha, we'll put prayer there. And I'm serious. We treat prayer like a transition moment and not a moment at God's feet. And I think sometimes the church has done such a disservice with that. That's our posture as Christians, especially in the Western culture today, is that prayer just becomes a life transition moment. Oh, man, my kid's going to college. What do? I guess I maybe should pray. Or for some of you moms that are still grieving, my kid went to kindergarten. What should I do? Maybe I should pray. And we start treating prayer like a transition moment, and we just start praying at God. Church, the thing about prayer is this. Maybe in order to get a more satisfying prayer life, we need to stop praying at God and start praying to God. Because I think one of the biggest things we struggle with prayer on is we just shout things at God. God, where are you at? Here's what I need. God, can you believe this happened? First off, yes, he can. Why is this happening at work? Why is this happening in my marriage, my relationship? And we just throw things at God. On some level, we treat God as just a counselor and not who he is as our Heavenly Father. Luckily for us, as we talk about the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked Jesus this question. Jesus, how should we pray? And this is addressed in both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. And here's the first line that Jesus says to his disciples from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing I want you to know is what Jesus is addressing here is what's happened is Jesus saying, hey, don't pray like the religious leaders. Do not pray like these people that just mumble through words for no reason and that want it to do for the glory of other people. But when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's start with just those two words, our Father. And let's just talk about what that truly means here. Let's start with a simple English word of our. You know what the first thing I noticed about that? It doesn't say my Father. It says our Father. That already brings to me a context of we should be doing this together. We should be doing this in community. I can't help but draw connections to Genesis 1 when God creates everything. He says, let's make man in our image. As you pray together, as you pray as the apostles, our Father. Let us beseech God together. And the next word there, Father. Do we understand how intimate that is? When we pray, that language there is Father, Dad. The Jewish audience that might have overheard Jesus talking about this, this would be revolutionary to them. What? You're saying our Father? Not all creator God? All powerful, all knowing, ever present God? You're saying our Father? What does that mean to us when we get to say that? First off, we get to say that because Jesus has made that connection for us. We are adopted through Jesus, and we get to say, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we can say, our Father. The next thing of the Lord's Prayer, the same line, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Let's go ahead and say this real quick. There's a word there that we're like, what does that even mean? Hallowed. All right, go ahead and give me the definition up there for hallowed. Here's what hallowed means. Hallowed means made holy, set apart, revered. Made holy, set apart, and revered. Do we have that when we come to God? That we remember his name is hallowed. His name is holy. His name is revered. I don't want to sound like I've turned like 1,000 years old up here for a minute, but like I did get glasses this week for some reason. I had to have them. But like, let me say this. I was raised in a small Baptist church, and I was raised that we were reverent to God. I mean, that's just how I was raised. Anybody else here like, hey, yeah, that's how I was raised. Like, you had a little reverence in yourself when you talked to God. I think sometimes in our culture today, like, God's become in our prayer life, what up, bro? Like, that's how God's become. Like, man, you believe this? And my problem with that is when we look at the text, especially the Lord's Prayer, and then how Jesus pretty much made this the model prayer, that is not what we're to be. That's not the posture we're to come with. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says this, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer sacrifice of fools who do not know what that they do wrong. Verse 2, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Solomon's known for wisdom, and there's some wisdom there. There is some wisdom there. Let me ask this question, church. How do we enter in prayer? When we go to the Father in prayer, how do we go in prayer? Is it with a lot of words? Is it with, God, here's everything that's gone on in my day. Everything out of my control. God, take care of this. Is that how we enter in? What I love about how Jesus starts his prayer for the disciples, you know, our Father, hallowed be your name, is when we look at this, I looked at it this week in the Greek and studied a little bit, and I see a present participle in the Greek, which means that's, what that means is this is not just an address. It's not like, hey, here's the two line to God, so here's who I'm praying for. All right, God is our Father, and his name is hallowed. So that's your introduction. No, what it is, it's an adoration of recognizing who God is. Because when you look at that prayer, here's what it really comes down to in the English. Our Father, let your name be hallowed. Or may your name be hallowed. What Jesus is saying, when you come and you pray with this, you're already asking for something here at the beginning. And what you're asking for at the beginning is you're asking for the majesty of God. You're not just recognizing it, you're asking for it. And you're coming in this posture of adoration. So, church, do we realize when we come to prayer, who are we praying to? Who are we praying to? Because I think we can learn something from when Moses talked to the Israelites. When Moses was at the burning bush and hearing from God, God was giving Moses a message, and Moses kind of responded with, hey, God, for these people, I'm going to need some more. And here's what God tells Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Now, when we see that, something that we really don't understand in our American context today is when God says, hey, you tell them, I am who I am. We don't realize what that means. For a Jewish reader here, what's really happening here in Exodus chapter 3, here's the word for you, all right? So if you're ever on Jeopardy, this will probably be a Bible $2,000 question. So get ready. What's happening here in Exodus 3 is what we call the tetragrammaton. You want to write that? I did not put it on the screen. You can write it down. I don't know how to spell it. But it's called the tetragrammaton. And what that is Jewish people saw God's name as so holy that they didn't write it out. They dropped all the vowels from it, and it's just the consonants. So sometimes when you see Yahweh, you just see the Y, W, H. That's why it's only the consonants. That's the reverence at which they came to the Lord. Do we do that today? Is that the posture of our heart when we come to God? Let me ask a question, and I'll let you guys think about this for a minute. When is the last time, either doing something or just around, that you have been struck by the awness of God and you've been caught in awe of who He is? Think about that for a second. When have you just been struck by the awness of God? Online, if you want to, you can drop it to the online pastor today. But let me talk about a couple times in my life this last year I've seen the awness of God. One of my favorite places to travel to is Colorado. Megan and I usually go about every other year. It's where my roommate from college lives, and we love being out there. I mean, just being on a mountain in Colorado and just looking out and seeing just this vast creation. For those people that live there, what that is that's the Kansas side of Denver. It's all flat. It's kind of, okay. But as you see just the majestic beauty of everything you can see being on the side of a mountain, I can only stop and just say, man, God is holy and He is mighty. Some other times other than that, besides seeing God in His creation, is when I see people, honestly, without hesitation, do the act and will of God. When I see people react to things with love instead of judgment, I get struck by the awness of God, because I'll be honest with you, there's times that I see people interact and I'm like, that was not them, that had to be the Holy Spirit. And I get caught in awe by that. Church, when is the last time we were struck by the awness of God, and is that how we enter our prayer life? R.C. Sproul puts it this way, and I love this quote. Men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. I don't use that quote to, you know, to belittle us and be like, yeah, we're so insignificant. But when we go to the Father in prayer, when we talk about our Father who wants to be in community with us through Jesus, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy, set apart, majestic. Do we realize who we are praying to? Do we walk in with that posture? The next line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When we see that line, so not only are we asking for God's name to be hallowed, but then we're saying, God, may your kingdom come, your will be done. Before we even start talking about prayer of petition for us, we're saying, hey, whatever you want, God, whatever you want. When we talk about the will of God, that can be a difficult topic. For example, let me give you an example from my life. When I was early in my 20s and finishing up college, I had my, you know, early life crisis at the age of 22. Anybody feel me on that? Didn't know what to do with life, didn't know what was going on. And I was just praying and praying and praying and praying. And God was not saying to me, here's what you should be doing. Here's where you need to go. Here's what life looks like. I was just a single guy, 22, just living my life and trying to figure out what God wanted. And I had surrounded myself with a couple people that are just holy people, a couple of them professors at a Bible college, and I said, hey, I've been praying, and I got nothing. I got nothing. And then somebody probably 60 years my senior spoke some very true words to me. Chase, have you stopped talking enough to listen? First off, that was offensive to me. But it's so true. Because church, we talk at God instead of talking to him so much. When do we stop and just listen to God and recognize who he is? But instead, we bombard him. And I get it. I understand. Guys, life is hard. I know it. I get it. But I have a feeling that if we want that satisfying prayer life that only 2% feel like they have, this might start right here. And you might also ask yourself, like, you know, what is the will of God? I will tell you right now, I searched the pages. The will of God is referenced to in Scripture. I will tell you right now, we can see that the will of God is that we all be sanctified. If you don't know what that means, you're new to church, may we all be saved by the blood of the cross, by Jesus' sacrifice. That's what that means. That's the overarching will of God. But there's another will of God. What is God's will for our life? Maybe he's an individual. Paul, as he's talking about this in Romans chapter 12, says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What I see in this text is what Paul is saying is this, is that if we want to know the will of God in our own life, every aspect of our life needs to be some kind of worship aspect. So when we go to the Father in prayer, how are we doing that with worship? Are we recognizing his majesty, his hallowed name? Are we asking that his will be done before we talk about ours? Is that what we're hearing? Now, before you think that I am like judging you, I want you to know, like, I was convicted by this message this week for one major reason. We chose the Lord's Prayer because we see it as the model prayer. I'll be the first to admit to you, I have not done the due justice with the Lord's Prayer all of my life. When I was earlier in ministry, I call it my rebellious student pastor days, all right? I was at a church, and I was, as a student pastor, like, there was only a couple of us on staff, but we had two services because this was the thing to do, and, you know, when I was, you know, starting ministry. We had a contemporary service, and we had a traditional service. And at the traditional service, we recited the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. We also sang this song called Gloria Patri, if you know what that is, okay? And I remember watching that service and being in that service, and I remember just being like, oh, snooze fest. And I'm like, that's how I felt. And church, the problem with my heart in that moment is I did not recognize what the start of that prayer is that Jesus is telling his disciples to model. Come to me and recognize who I am and let my will be done. I didn't understand the magnitude of those words. Because let me be honest, us in the evangelical world that we call church, we kind of like put our nose up at tradition and repetitive things. And when we do that, we got to be careful. Because there are things that are holy. And there are things that we should strive to understand with the renewal of our mind. And something that hit me hard this last week was, man, I did not do justice with the Lord's Prayer earlier in my career. I saw it as just repeated words. And my issue was with the heart of the person, being me too, not knowing what we were doing and not the act of it. And that cut me to the heart because I realized at that moment, even I was not realizing what this truly means. I was praying at God and not to God. Church, we need to stop praying at God and start praying to him. Usually every sermon, I try to give a challenge to you guys as the church. I'm not going to do that this morning. You know, sometimes I might say with this sermon, I might be like, hey, let's try to pray multiple times a day. Let's pray in morning and evening, and let's pray sometime in the middle. I could make that a challenge, but I don't know if that's really going to fix the problem I think our hearts have with this. If we want to be more satisfied in our prayer life, I think it starts with the posture in which we enter prayer. Because what I don't want us as a church to do, we prayed 5 times this week. Check. I'm serious. That's how we do it. Come on, my type A task-oriented people. Like, that would be a charge that we would love to have. But what if I said this? Man, if we just entered in the presence of God in prayer and just recognized his holy name and who he is. Chase, I can't really quantify that. I know. But man, if we just tried. So what we're going to do this morning and what you're going to see this whole sermon series is we're going to incorporate the Lord's Prayer. And so what we're going to do right now is I want us to do the Lord's Prayer together. And as we do the Lord's Prayer together, I want you, if you want to say it, you're welcome to. If you're new and you're like, well, this is weird, you don't have to say it, it's okay. But I want you to reflect on the words and realize what we are saying and who we are talking to. Most of the time at Great Oaks, we preach from the ESV, English Standard Version of Scripture. For the Lord's Prayer, it's going to be on the screen because, let's be honest, if I said let's do it from memory, we might be a little bit failing, all right? I threw the King James Version up today, okay? Here's why. Because I think most of you, like me, have memorized the King James Version. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand together, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together this morning. So go ahead and stand. Ethan, if you want to go ahead and throw the words on the screen for me this morning, here we go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, as you leave here today, I want something to stick with you. There are 6 things in that prayer that's asked for. You might be like, what? The first 3 are this. The first 3 things that are asked for in this prayer is, God, may your name be hallowed. That's 1. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. Those are the first things that are asked for in this prayer and has nothing to do with what's going on in our life. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the latter 3 things that are asked for. Give us daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. And the coolest thing about that is when Jesus gave this model prayer to his disciples, those latter 3, the daily bread, the forgiveness, lead us not into temptation, those are all active things we do because we recognize the hallowed name of God and who he is and how we recognize his will. The most powerful thing in this prayer is those first 3 things that we are asking of God is being who he is, because he is the I am who has always been for generations. So my prayer for you this week, as we go in times of prayer, may we recognize the holy name of the Father. Let's continue standing for worship.